Welcome to the Sadler Lectures podcast. Responding to popular demand, I'm converting my philosophy videos into sound files you can listen to anywhere you can take an MP3. If you like what you hear and want to support my work, go to patreon.com/sadler. I hope you enjoy this lecture.
So Jeremy Bentham starts out with this really famous passage saying that mankind has two masters, pain and pleasure. And that not only do these always motivate us in the last analysis, they ought to motivate us. So he's actually saying two different things there. It's kind of hard because of the rhetoric to see exactly what he's doing. He's saying that we are the kind of beings that are motivated by pain and pleasure. That's the basis on which we ultimately make our decisions, whether we realize it or not. But that if we're rational, if we're going to do ethics or moral theory right, we ought to make those central. We ought to focus on, for any given action or policy, what are the pleasures created, what are the pains created. So this is a hedonistic type of ethics. We've looked at hedonism before. This one is going to be a little bit different, though. One of the key things that distinguishes utilitarianism from other types of hedonism is that you look at everybody's pain and pleasure. So we'll come back to that in just a moment. So let's think for a minute just about pain and pleasure. When you engage in some sort of action, nowadays, you're adults. You've lived a pretty long time by historical standards. You've managed to outlive a good portion of humanity. Do you have a pretty good idea of whether the actions you produce are going to cause pain or pleasure in general? Do you ever get surprised? Sure, because you're not God. You can't predict everything. But what's something that's horrible to drink that nobody likes? Well, that thing that makes you throw up, Ipecac, right? Nobody likes that, I think. But if you drink some poison, you should probably take some Ipecac. If you take it and it says on the bottle this is going to induce vomiting, do any of you like that? Any of you say, well, this is a good Saturday night. This is what I want to do. Yeah, then you know it's going to cause you pain. There's a high probability. Is it 100% certain? You could be immune, but odds are that's going to happen. Think about other things that you shouldn't mess around with. Some of you may not be allergic the way the rest of the human race generally is to poison ivy. Maybe it doesn't affect you. Most of you, if you roll around in poison ivy, what's going to happen to you? You can predict the consequences. Even if you liked rolling around in it because of the aesthetic pleasure or something like that, you're not going to like it about an hour later. Why not? It's going to happen. Some very specific effects. What's going to happen? You become very, very itchy, and then the more you scratch, the more it itches, and then eventually you spread it over your whole body. Yeah, you get blisters, or, it's no fun, right? Even putting the calamine lotion on, it's no fun. On the other hand, what about pleasures? Are there a lot of things that you know in your life that are not necessarily guaranteed, but likely to bring you pleasure? I mean, those of you who have, like I do, some sort of coffee, I imagine you picked out what you did on the basis that you actually like that, right? There are other things that you could have picked out that you don't like so much that wouldn't afford you as much pleasure. Maybe some of them actually would have a bad taste and that would give you pain. We can understand pain and pleasure in very broad terms. It's not always necessarily excruciating physical pain. Any sort of trouble or disturbance or irritation, or Bentham actually says uneasiness, would be a matter of ultimately pain. Anything that you think is good for you, you think so because it's pleasant. If you like people thinking well of you, if you enjoy spending time with friends, from this perspective, you do so because of the pleasure that you get. If you like getting an A in the class and getting an F in the class feels bad to you, the F is a pain, the A is a pleasure. If you're so motivated that even getting a C counts for you the way that an F would for some other people, well, then you have a different range of pain, and maybe even getting the A is not as much pleasure as it would be for somebody else. And we have a lot of different kinds of pains and pleasures, and we could explore this at great length. We're not going to, but that's something that you could think about doing on your own time. Actually sit down and think sometime. What are the things in my life that give me pleasure? What are the things that give me pain? And how much and what kind? And you may actually come up with some things that surprise you. There may be some things you write down and you think to yourself, well, this is a pleasure. And then the more that you look at it, the more you start saying, I don't actually like this. With people, for example, I really like hanging out with so-and-so. And then you think back to the last five times that you were together, and you're like, that person's a pain. I don't like being with them. Or, you know, it could be the opposite. There are things that you probably didn't like at one time, and you would, like, knee-jerk response, throw into the pain section. And if you think about it, actually you've kind of come to like it. It's become part of your routine, for example. Once you get finished here with college, many of you are now used to a different routine of doing things. Once you get finished, a lot of the things that seemed irritating and onerous to you, and you'll enjoy taking a break from, you will come to say, you know, actually, I kind of liked doing that. That wasn't so bad. I kind of miss actually somebody assigning me something to read and reading through it and getting something out of it, which may not happen in any place, unless you're doing continual, you know, education, or you're going on for your master's, your PhD, or doing some sort of certification. So there's a lot of things that we could analyze in terms of pain and pleasure. Bentham is going to introduce another important term, and that is, so what's a utility? I mean, if we're joking about this, you know, lights, cable, we're not talking about those kind of utilities, right? What is utility? Well, it comes from an old term, and you could translate it perhaps better as usefulness. When something has utility, it has usefulness. Useful for what? Well, I mean, what is the utility of this? Let's take really basic things. What is this good for? I mean, in a way, it advertises Marist Dining Services. Was that the main point of putting this plastic in this form? What's the point of it?
To, like, keep your coffee warm.
Yeah, I mean, even more basically, keep it all in one place so I'm not walking around with it in my hands like that. And it does keep it warm. Not as good as a thermos cup would do, but good enough for this. It allows me to walk into the cafe and quickly fill up and then come to class. And it's got, you know, why do I need this kind of lid thing? So I don't spill coffee on my tie or my shirt, right? I can close it up when I'm walking. What are these desks useful for? These are not good desks, too, right? They don't have a high degree of utility, but they do at least one thing. If you put your butt down in that seat and your butt doesn't stay there and you go down on the floor, that's no longer a desk, is it? You need it for two things, basically. Parking your body and being able to support things that you're, you know, typing on or writing on or looking at or anything like that, right? So that's utility. We're not yet at pleasure and pain. We're just talking about usefulness for something. Now, if you have this same sort of general scheme, let's actually use this coffee cup again. We'll use this as an example. So we have a cup, and the purpose of the cup is to hold coffee. I know it could hold other things, but we're just going to use that for example. Why do I want it to hold coffee? What's the point of that? Well, there could be more than one, right? Why do I need coffee? We've talked about this before. Because I'm an addict. If I don't drink the coffee, I'm going to get headaches. So it could be to hold the coffee so I can consume the coffee, so I can avoid headaches. Any other reasons I might want coffee? Alertness. What else? I mean, I could just, like, take caffeine pills for that, couldn't I? Yeah.
You like it?
I like coffee, yeah.
Like the taste.
That probably covers the bases. Any other reasons that you think of offhand? Why somebody would pour coffee in a cup and bring it into a classroom? Maybe they're showing off, but not with this sort of thing, right? I mean, if we were, like, a really status-conscious society, and there was something besides Starbucks across the way that was, like, you know, super high-end coffee, I don't even know what this would be. Any of you have any ideas? Like, you know, some very exclusive cafe, and I wanted to show all of you how hip I am, that I could go over there and bring it back and that sort of thing. But that's not the case now. So we'll just stick with these three. So now, these are all ends. These are all points, reasons for doing something. Avoiding headaches, what's that about? That's about avoiding pain, right? I like the taste.
Well, that's a matter of pleasure, isn't it?
The alertness, can we understand that immediately in terms of pleasure and pain? Maybe not, but could we analyze it further? Why does it matter for me being alert? What do I get out of that? What do you get out of being alert? A lot of you drink coffee, don't you? In the morning, or tea, or anything like that? What do you get out of being alert? I mean, I suppose you could say it's kind of a type of pain to be groggy and not know where you are, what's going on, to feel kind of run down. When I have the coffee, I actually feel pretty good. So maybe that's also in terms of pleasure. So you notice the usefulness ultimately depends on pleasures or pains of one form or another. Now, Bentham says you can have positive utility which is a propensity to produce or to promote or to assure or however you want to put it, pleasure to a person. And then there's negative utility. What would negative utility be? Instead of promoting pleasure, it would be producing pain. Yeah, very good. Are there things that you can look at and right off the bat know that even though that thing by itself is not necessarily painful, you look at it and you associate it with pain? How about things in doctor's offices? Are there any things that you don't like about doctor's offices? Now, I don't mean the waiting room. I mean the, like, you're in there and it's the butcher paper on the table or whatever they call that stuff. It's not exactly butcher paper. It's something like it. There are unpleasant things about being in the doctor's office for you guys. What don't you like about the doctor's office?
Everyone's like, sick.
Yeah,
if you go there for something like...
Except for the doctor, hopefully.
Yeah, like if you're not sick and you go there, I hate it.
Yeah.
Everyone's coughing and sneezing.
You mean like if you go for a checkup?
Yeah.
You know how I avoid that? I don't go for checkups. I only go when I'm sick. But yeah, I mean, it's no fun if you're sick to be around other people who are sick, is it? So that would be on the pain balance. What else? What else don't you like about the doctor's office? Did everybody, you know, give you shots? Are those fun? Anybody like taking shots? Yeah.
Yeah, I hate getting shots. Like, they're my phobia. Even, like, the finger prick, I hate that. And I know that every time I go to the doctor, I'm most likely going to get, like...
Or they're going to draw blood. Or,
yeah.
Yeah.
So I just try. I put it off as much as possible.
That's understandable. What were you going to say? Same thing?
Yeah, needles, yeah.
I think that's probably one of the biggest things. Taking pills isn't so bad. You just, you know, swallow them. Maybe they're kind of big, but... Yeah.
Like if they give you a strep test.
Stress or strep?
Strep.
Oh, where they... Yeah, there's various procedures like that. You know, stress tests are no picnic either if you're not in shape. Because the whole purpose is to try to get you close to like a heart attack. And that doesn't feel good, especially if you're out of shape. So now, if I just say doctor's office in general, now you probably associate that with more pains than pleasures. This is a good example, though, because if you analyze it further, if that was all there was to doctors, then why would anyone go to them other than masochists, people who enjoy pain, right? Hypochondriacs, I suppose. Why do you go to the doctor's office? Do they just enjoy poking you with the needles? It might feel like that at first, but why do they do all that stuff? Hopefully you're actually going to get better, right? If not, quit going, because there's no point. Overall, going to the doctor's office has positive if you map it out and you look at it in the long term. If you only look at it in the short term, it's got negative utility. It has more of a propensity to produce pain. There's a lot of things like that where we can work them out and balance out. Is this going to produce more pain overall, or is this going to produce more pleasure overall? And think about this just for you. Don't bring other people into it yet. If you go to the cafeteria, let's come to a consensus on your favorite food. Pick your favorite food. Anyone just shout it out.
Chicken fingers.
Really? Chicken fingers? Okay. Can the rest of the class get behind that? They like it? Well, chicken fingers? Well, let's say you have all the different
dips. Everyone likes chicken fingers.
Then you get all the dipping sauces you want. So anything you want it to taste like, whatever thing you're into, it could be ranch, could be weird stuff like, you know, chocolate, whatever. Now, how many chicken fingers can a person eat, do you think? Probably a lot, right? I mean, if you're really hungry and you go in and, oh, it's chicken fingers today, all right. And they, like, get you a whole flight of dipping sauces. I'll try a bit of this and a bit of this. And let's say they just say, we're going to keep them coming. It's not like the cafeteria here where you actually have to get up and walk over and get some more. And maybe they'll, like, look at you funny, like, weren't you just here? Instead, they'll just keep bringing it to your table. So you can eat as much as you want. Now, that should be mostly pleasure, right? What's it like when you eat too much? All of you have done that, right? I don't mean just like eat a little bit too much, but way, way too much. Like you just sit there and eat and eat and eat and eat and eat, and then afterwards, how do you feel?
Sleep.
You just go to sleep? That's not bad. Disgusting, did you say? Do you mean like you nauseous?
Yeah, nauseous, yeah.
Yeah, your stomach might actually physically hurt because you crammed, you know.
Or you eat too fast.
Yeah, oh, that's, yeah, you could, if you eat too fast and you're eating stuff like chicken fingers and you don't chew it enough, you could actually, like, scratch your esophagus. Well, that wouldn't feel good either. But, you know, eating too much is that proverbial thing of putting the, you know, the 10 pounds of you-know-what into a 5-pound bag, and that doesn't feel too hot. So now, ask yourself this. If you were to do that sort of thing, which I'm sure all of you have done at one time or another, which actually outweighs the other? Do you end up feeling more pleasure in the immediate thing than the pain that you feel afterwards? Or do you ultimately end up feeling more pain than pleasure? I mean, if you are ultimately feeling more pain than pleasure than pain, then from a utilitarian perspective, it might actually be rational to go stuff yourself. But if you actually feel more pain than pleasure, then it's not rational. Then that's something you should avoid. Are there other things like that you could think of where it feels good in the immediate situation, but then the consequences afterwards are more painful? What about losing your temper? What is it like when you lose your temper and the other person has got it coming and you really lay into them? It feels kind of good, doesn't it? Let's say they've had it coming to them for a long time and you've kept your mouth shut for a long time because you tried to put up with their stuff and now you're actually going to tell them off. Doesn't that feel good? Do you ever like go too far with that? Anger is seductive because it does actually feel good. The ancient philosophers knew this. They called, actually, Homer called it sweeter than honey dripping from the comb. Because anger has a tendency to do that to us. Have you ever said anything that you regretted afterwards? Did you ever do anything that couldn't be fixed afterwards? Break something?
Hit someone.
Yeah, hit someone, make a decision that can't be undone. Say something that can't really be taken back once you've put it on the table. Now, here's something to ask yourself. Did that cause you more pain in the end than it did pleasure? Probably, yeah, if you look at it. That's a good one, though, to make a segue into something else. Is it just your pains and pleasures that are up for discussion that have utility? What about other people? Again, from a utilitarian perspective, other people's pains and pleasures matter, and how much do they matter? Just as much as your own. Now think about the anger thing. If you get angry at another person and you cross the line in certain respects, maybe they had it coming up to a certain point, and so you should have told them off, you should have done it in an emphatic way and said, you're not a good person, or something like that, something fairly innocuous. You know, let's say instead you call them a whole string of names. Names that they're surprised to hear come out of your mouth. Names that really hurt them. Now you have some negative utility. You have some pain, right? Because you feel bad about it afterwards. Maybe you regret losing control. You also did feel good to say those things, right? Oh, that's pleasure. What about the other person? Is it a pleasant experience for them, for the most part? Is there any pleasure? Some people enjoy getting other people angry at them. I don't know too many people who really like that. I'm not quite sure why they like that either. They feel a lot of pain. So now if you look at the balance overall, it looks worse, doesn't it? Could other people be affected by it? What if you're in like a public space? Have you ever seen people fighting like cats and dogs in a public space? You could have different reactions to that. Did any of you get pleasure out of that? It could be funny, depending on what they're saying. More often, though, how do we feel?
Uncomfortable.
I think that's a good way to put it, uncomfortable. We might feel bad for one of the people. You know, if we see the other person really laying into them, wow, they shouldn't hang out with that person anymore. Maybe we feel embarrassed, but you get the idea. If the more you expand it, certain things become more painful overall. And it's not just our pains, it's other people's pains too. So when we're calculating utility, we want to look at everybody's pains and pleasures equally. We want to give everybody, how would you put it? We want to take everybody into consideration as if they mattered just as much. So this is where utilitarianism is a bit different than other kinds of hedonism. When we looked at hedonism before, it was about pain and pleasure. And you could actually use this notion of utility, usefulness, but you didn't worry so much about other people. You could worry about them insofar as they'd affect you. I mean, if it makes you feel bad to hurt other people, then that's causing you pain, right? If it makes you feel good to help other people, that's causing you pleasure. Utilitarianism is saying, even if it doesn't make you feel good and you create pleasure for somebody else, that's a good thing. Even if you don't feel bad about it afterwards, it has no negative repercussions for you, but you create pain for somebody else, that's a bad thing. And you could think about this in terms of just human beings if you want to, or you could actually think about this in broader terms of animals. We know that animals can feel pain, don't we? At least certain animals. I'm not sure how much pain an insect actually feels compared to a higher animal like a cat or a dog, but you know when your dog gets hurt, right? How do you know? What does it do to let... Yeah, it cries. And if you hurt, you know, sometimes if you hurt it, it'll turn around and bite you because it doesn't like it. Yeah, it's letting you know. And can you tell when your dog's happy? When your dog has pleasure? How can you tell?
Wag their tails.
Yeah, they wag their tails. They actually want to be near you. You can see sometimes in their expression. They're not like us. We have a lot of facial expressions, but you can tell. Can you tell with a cat? More or less. Can you tell with a snake? Probably a lot less. I mean, snakes like some things. They have pleasure. They have pain. Do they have as much as apes or mice or stuff like that? Probably not as much. Now, what about a tarantula? Can you tell? Let's pick a tarantula because it's big, right? And actually fuzzy, so you might be able to relate to it a little bit better. They can feel pain, I think. They can feel some pleasure. They're probably happy when they're eating things. But do they feel the same range of pain and pleasure as you? Definitely not. As your dog or your cat? I don't think so. So there's gradations.
Special thanks to all of my Patreon supporters for making this podcast possible. You can find me on Twitter at Philosopher70, on YouTube at the Gregory B. Sadler channel, and on Facebook on the Gregory B. Sadler page. Once again, to support my work, go to patreon.com/sadler. Above all, keep studying these great philosophical works.